Welcome, everyone, to the Goddess Vibration Podcast. This is Allie.
This is Tiara.
Today, we are going to talk about karma. And we have talked about karma a little bit before in some previous episodes, but I feel like karma is actually like a heavily misunderstood thing. And if people had a better grasp of what karma is and how it affects us, I feel like if delivered correctly, it could actually be very effective and help a lot of people.
So, no, I agree. I do think that if there was better understanding of karma, that maybe we'd live our lives a little differently. Like, I know for me, I spent a very long time thinking of that more simplistic understanding of karma, which is like what goes around comes around. Which, like, yeah, on the surface, that's true. But like, what does that mean? Because, you know, I always thought that, hey, if someone does something to you that's negative, then that means that at some point something bad is going to happen to them that's negative in the same way. And I think that it goes much further than that, but I didn't fully understand that. And so, you know, I'm glad we're having this conversation because I could see it helping a lot of people who only really know that more simplistic surface level understanding of what karma is.
Absolutely. And karma is actually like one of the fundamental elements of Buddhism. Not trying to turn this into a religious topic, but I know that it's like heavily emphasized. And also, karma is one of the universal laws. It's just not called karma straight out, but it is called the law of cause and effect. And essentially, in simplicity's sake, Tiara is correct. Cause and effect. If you do something with malicious intent or bad intentions or for personal gain that negatively affects someone else, then you will quote unquote collect karma. And at some point, that karma is going to come back at you, whether it's this lifetime, whether it's next lifetime, or many lifetimes down the road. It will come back around, because what a lot of people don't understand with the law of cause and effect is that that energy or that action needs to be quote unquote balanced. Hence why the simplicity saying what goes around comes around.
So something that I think gets lost when it comes to the conversation around karma, and Allie, I'm glad that you said this, is balance and how the universe strives for balance always, all the time. And essentially our existence here is on Earth, is one of attempting to achieve balance. Like, that's what we're all doing. And so the universe also at its core strives for balance. And that's ultimately what it is. I don't know why it's gotten, like, we've gotten away from that when it comes to karma and how we understand it. And even in pop culture, like, karma is always like this, in some ways it's depicted as this scary thing. Like, oh my gosh, I don't want to do anything wrong or bad against this person because karma's a bitch, or I don't want the karmic effects of that. And I don't know that it's something we should carry fear towards. I get that sentiment, and I carry that sentiment too in some ways. But I don't know that fear is necessary when it comes to karma and how it operates. So I'm glad that we're talking about balance and how that's a really important aspect of karma, because ultimately, again, at the core, that's what existence and life is about, is striving for balance.
And this could be applied to anything, you guys. Like, this can be applied to the fact that Earth is all about duality, right? I have said it before, and I'll say it again. We cannot have light without dark. We cannot have happiness without sadness. We can't have, you know, we can't have these emotions that we're feeling, and we can't have these things in our lives without the opposite reaction. We need the opposite reaction in order to find balance. And so this is actually no different with karma. And a lot of people, I don't really think, understand that. And Tiara is right. Like, I know a lot of people that are just like, oh, I don't want to do what I'm too afraid to do anything because I don't want it to come back and kick me in the ass later. Because, you know, that's in pop culture, that's what we say. Like, karma is a bitch, and what goes around comes around. So it's like, this programming kind of goes into our brain where it's just like, oh, well, I don't want to do that because I don't want to have it come back and bite me in the ass later. And I know for a fact, I have had those thoughts, especially when I was younger. I was just like too afraid to make waves because I was like, I don't want to pay for this later. This is terrible. And I feel like a lot of people actually feel that way.
Well, they certainly do. And I absolutely do too. And I have, in some ways, like, obsessed about it, where I was just like, no, I've got so much karma already that I cannot add more of this. Like, I can't do anything in any way, shape, or form that's gonna add more karma to the, like, devastating amount of karma that I already have. And, like, I would ruminate on it. And, like, to the point where I was just like, okay, I gotta do this, and this is okay, but not that. And if I don't do that, then maybe, like, I won't get more. Like, it was really terrible. And so don't be me. Don't do that. It's not necessary. But I get that fear around it. But we just said in another episode that fear is an illusion. So please bear that in mind when we're talking about karma.
Okay, yes, fear is an illusion. But also bear in mind that intention in the universal law of cause and effect, intention matters. And even in Buddhism, they'll teach you, like, intention matters, right? Because we aren't perfect. We aren't perfect beings. We're never going to be perfect. As much as you may strive for perfection, it's never going to be perfect. And so intention, though, when, you know, certain teachers teach about karma, intention is like 90% of it all, right? Because it's like, it's also based on how we perceive things, right? So it's like, for example, I remember a time when a family member was supposed to come and visit me when I was living in San Francisco. And that family member decided to take a different trip, like, knowing that I was going to be disappointed, like, knowing that I was going to be upset. And, you know, they called me up and was just like, hey, you know, I know you're going to be upset with me. However, I decided to go on this other trip with a different family member. And I was just like, oh, okay. I was confused by it. I didn't really understand. And ironically enough, like, not that I was happy to hear this news, because I wasn't, because I don't want any of my family members to get hurt. But, like, the day that, like, this family member, like, went on this other trip, the day that they arrived, they ended up breaking a rib. And I found it to be really interesting once I got the phone call after the trip. I didn't find out until after the trip. And, like, I had called and I was like, hey, how was the trip? And they were like, you know, ironically enough, like, I ended up breaking a rib. And I was just like, and I didn't mean to say this. And I think, like the hurt aspect of myself was just like, huh, karma's a bitch. And that family member got so mad at me. I remember, like, she was just like, you know, I'm not saying I didn't deserve that, but you didn't need to, like, rub it in my face.
Dang. You know what? I have had experiences like that. But the ones I remember were, like, I wanted to do something and for some reason I couldn't. So like maybe go on a camping trip, or maybe go on like an excursion or an adventure with a group of people, and maybe I couldn't do it, and for whatever reason I'm upset about it, right? And then they go, and then they get like a flat tire and can't and have to come back, or like, you know, something happens to the driver and they're not able to complete the trip. Like, I've had those experiences that have happened a couple times, and I don't know if that's a karmic thing, but I know that it's happened more than once where I would get the news and be like, huh, fuck them, that's what they get.
Right, exactly. And that's exactly how I felt when that happened. And I'm just saying, like, so it's just interesting how, like, it can happen immediately. Like I said, it can happen immediately. It can happen in this lifetime. It could happen down the road, or it could happen next lifetime, or it could honestly take thousands of years. You know what I'm saying? But it's just interesting how, like, it gets balanced, right? Like, it was like in that decision to the trip to, like, a week later was like, I made the wrong decision. And I know I made the wrong decision. And this was like the universe telling me, like, hey, you messed up.
Now, I don't know if that's what it was with some of these experiences I've had. Because, I don't know. Just because I couldn't go on the trip and I wanted to. I mean, is that karmic? Like, does that have some type of immediate karmic impact?
Potentially, yes.
Huh. I never considered that.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just like, I mean, okay, so if to steer away from karma for just a second, if you want to talk about like energetic attacks and jealousy, yeah, stuff like that can happen because you're sending bad energy that person's way.
Oh, interesting. Okay. I mean, and that makes sense. It's just like, I wouldn't say that I intentionally was like, well, I hope something bad happens. It was just I was upset because I couldn't go. And like, you know.
Well, just because you don't have the thought doesn't mean that like your energy, because your energy is its own frequency outside of the conscious thought and outside of the conscious words. So it's like your energy could be radiating something completely different than what your conscious mind and mouth are saying.
Very interesting. So if you guys have had similar experiences, this could explain what that was.
Oh, absolutely. And I know for a fact that you've had experienced like energetic attacks. Like you had said, hey, I think one of my family members was like energetically attacking me.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, I get energetic attacks all the time. And it's interesting because I've kind of gotten to a point now where I can tell when it's happening. I can't always tell who or why, but I've kind of gotten to a point now where I can tell when, and you know, sometimes I can protect myself. Sometimes I can't, I don't always know how to, but yeah, that's a real thing too. So I'm glad that we made that little connection to there because I think it might explain some unusual experiences that people have had where they might think that it was karmic.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would say that it's all intertwined, right? Because even if you wish ill will on someone intentionally, it's just, why wouldn't that come back around eventually? Because thoughts are energy too. Actually, thoughts are more powerful than the words that we speak at the conscious level. And I don't think a lot of people really understand that.
Not at all. And I didn't realize that at all either. And I also for a long time didn't realize the impact of like spoken words and the vibrational effects of those. And for a very, very long time, like I would not necessarily speak things out, right? Like verbally, but mentally I would speak things particularly to myself about myself that were very critical, hypercritical. And without really consciously realizing that I was setting myself up for failure and sabotage. So absolutely. I think that's it's something that should definitely be discussed more, because I think you're right. We don't really realize the energetic impact of our words or our thoughts. And that stuff is way more powerful than you guys realize.
Way, way, way more powerful. And that's why, like, a lot of this actually can be tied into karma, because even though our conscious mind is thinking one way, our intention could be something totally different. And that's when it can get dicey.
So when you say intention, are you talking about desire behind the thoughts?
Yes.
Okay. And is that often conscious, or is that often subconscious, or could it be both?
It can be both.
Okay.
It can be both. Like if you are actually like seeking revenge on someone, like, you know, say you were cheated on and you want to get back at the person who cheated on you. It's like if you do something at the conscious level where you're just like, yeah, I'm going to get revenge on you because, you know, you cheated on me, and all you're thinking about is getting back at them. Yeah, that's conscious thought. But if you hear of someone doing like this really cool thing, for example, and you're just like, oh yeah, like that's really cool, I'm really happy for them, but like deep down you're jealous, you're envious, you're just like, oh god, like I hope, you know, their plane crashes during, you know, during flight on their way of this amazing trip. Like that is that subconscious intention.
Okay.
So it can definitely be in both. And you have to be careful with that stuff, because it's like, you know, sometimes people do get what they wish for, even if they didn't mean it or say it.
You know, and that's where I don't know if we wanted to go in this direction with this discussion, but I feel like once it starts getting into more esoteric stuff like witchcraft and spell work, that you're, my understanding of it is that you're trying to control the karmic effects, right? Like you're speeding up that process of the karmic consequences and making it more current, as opposed to something that would happen thousands of years down the line, as at least how I understand it. And I don't know if people realize this or not, but when you do that stuff is so incredibly karmic. Like it has karmic consequences, and it's gonna come back to you. Maybe not in this lifetime, but at some point in a future lifetime, it's gonna come back to you. And it just blows my mind that so many people are just like, yeah, I'm gonna pay a practitioner to cast this spell, and I'm gonna do root work, and I'm gonna like cast this and cast that. And I'm just like, are you guys insane? Like you have no idea the karmic effects of something like that. And that stuff does have a very strong karmic impact. And I know that there are practitioners who will say like it doesn't, and it just depends on how you do it. And, you know, if someone pays you to cast a spell, it's not the same. I don't know if I believe that stuff. But I'm of the impression that you should be safer than sorry. So please just think again if you're considering something like this. Just, you know, we care about you guys.
We absolutely do. And honestly, I don't know a whole lot about witchcraft. You know, from what I know and what I know of like my soul history, I don't think my soul's really been entangled in it. So I can't speak on witchcraft.
Oh, in this lifetime, I don't know as much about witchcraft, but I know that my soul has an extensive history of witchcraft and spell work and curse work and root work and hoodoo and voodoo. And she's ultimately an expert. And just, you know, my impression is that, like, yeah, that stuff is powerful and it does work and it can be effective, but it still has a karmic blueprint. Even if someone pays you to do it to someone else, it's still karmically impactful. So I just wanted to kind of share that warning out there, just because I know that for whatever reason, the idea of spell work to get revenge or to get back at someone is so tantalizing. And I just, you know, it's not what you guys think it is. So just please be careful with some of that stuff. You know, like I said, we care about you guys. And if we know about it and we think that it could potentially spare someone from a negative karmic impact, like, we're going to do that.
Indeed. So if you guys are loyal listeners to this podcast, if you go back to a Forbidden Love Story episode, that's really kind of what Tiara is referencing about, like, you know, the history of her soul and the very destructive path that her soul has taken. And as a result of that, unfortunately, it has affected past incarnates. And, you know, until the way that generational trauma works is that the cycle will continue until the current incarnate steps up to do the work to break the cycle. I know it doesn't sound fair. It's not fair. We're not making that claim, but there are a lot of really important lessons to be learned.
True. And I will be the first to say that I've never thought that that was fair, but I do understand the importance and the significance of learning the specific lessons behind it and ending the generational patterns and the curses. And I do know that there are a lot of souls incarnate right now who are that generational curse breaker and who are trying really hard to end those negative and destructive generational patterns. Like, for whatever reason, a lot of us here now are just those souls. Like, that's just what we're here to do. And it actually is an honor and a privilege to be able to do something like that. And, you know, I'm of the belief that there are many in your lineage, if you're one of those individuals, that there are many in your lineage who probably respect and appreciate you for taking on that burden, because it is not an easy one. So if you are one of those individuals, you know that you're a curse breaker, like, have some compassion for yourself and try to change your perspective a little bit when it comes to the significance of the role that you play, because you are one in a million. No one else before you was able to do it. If you have any awareness around how a negative pattern needs to end, you're already way ahead of the game.
So, TR, since it was really your story, do you want to kind of give a glimpse into your life and what it's been like to break this generational trauma?
Well, I think a lot of us who are in that place where we're that curse breaker, like, we're really different in some ways. And I know that I've always felt quite different. And I had that whole black sheep energy, right? Like, I was just not like the other people. I wasn't interested in some of the things that other people were doing. I was just, you know, I was different. And as I've grown and matured, I got to a place where I recognized some of the destructive patterns that were in my family that I felt like were not healthy. They were not productive. They caused more harm than good. And I sort of just kind of within myself decided, hey, if I ever have children and I ever am given that opportunity, these are the things that I would not pass on to my children. And I sort of just kind of mentally made a note of some of those things. So, you know, in my family, for example, we struggled a lot with nurturing, showing emotional intelligence, providing emotional support, expressing grief, expressing pain, and understanding that that's something that's okay to do. I knew that probably in my early 30s, I want to say, that that was something I didn't want to pass on to any future generation. Now, as I've continued through this journey, I've discovered other patterns that I've also noticed were quite destructive and were other things, again, that I just made mental notes about not wanting to pass those on to future generations. And I think that, at least in my family, myself and some of my other relatives also witnessed these patterns and have all just collectively decided, hey, this stops here with us. It's not just me. There are others in my family who see the same patterns and also want them to stop. And it's much more, you feel much more supported in that effort when there are others in your family who see it too and also want it to stop. And, you know, I can't speak for everyone, obviously, because I know that there are some people in their family who are just that sole lone person, that sole lone wolf who wants something different that everyone looks at as crazy for ever wanting to change or do something different. And I commend you guys, and my heart goes out to you guys. But that's just kind of how I deconstructed it and unpacked it, was just something, a note, mental note that I made to myself that it was going to end with me and I wasn't going to pass these things on.
That is so commendable. And I actually had a lot of the same sentiments. I was always quite aware of a lot of the struggles that I had and like the mental stuff that I was dealing with. And I was just like, I don't want to produce another me. I don't want to pass along like these really deep, dark sentiments that I'm feeling onto my kin. Like, why would I ever want to do that? And that was just something that I had a high level of self-awareness around. And so for me, it was just like, you know, if I ever were to have kids, I have to work on myself before I would even consider it. Like, that was like one of the things that I felt very strongly about. Now, you know, I know everyone has their own goals and I know everyone has like their own sentiments. I'm just talking about me personally. I'm not telling you not to have kids. I'm not telling anyone how to live their life. I just know for me personally, this was something that I held very close and dear to my heart about, you know, I was very always like conscious about where my DNA was at. And I had a high level of self-awareness and I was just like, I don't want to do it for myself, but I also don't want to like do that to any future lineages.
So I kind of want to dive in a little bit into karmic effects and how it extends beyond what we might see on the surface, because this was something I didn't fully understand or recognize for a very long time, that if you're carrying trauma and that trauma creates specific negative patterns of behavior or thinking, that that's also karmic, is how I understand it now, at least. And I didn't realize that for a very, very long time. I just thought trauma was trauma. It happened to you because you weren't lucky. But that it's actually karmic and that it's something that's also in need of balance is a newer way of thinking. So I want to talk a little bit about that and share how when you're navigating through some of these, the pain that you're carrying and that shadow that you're carrying, that at the end of the day, it's the exact same thing. It's striving to balance, striving to bring light to the shadow so that you can move beyond it and get to a place where it's no longer negatively affecting your life. All still karma. And again, I didn't know that for the longest time.
Is it all still karma? I mean, like, a lot of it is, but, like, I don't know if we can say it's all.
I don't know. I think it's worth discussing.
Oh, I absolutely think it's worth discussing. I just don't know if it's considered all, but Tiara, I mean, it's an excellent point. It's just we have to do more research.
Yeah, because, like, when you think of trauma, usually we experience trauma because of something we've experienced or someone has done something to us that violated us in some way. It leaves a very negative imprint. Isn't that at the end of the day still karma.
I see what you're saying in theory. It's definitely a possibility, but I don't want to say with certainty because I don't know.
Okay, that's fair.
But I absolutely see your point, and you make a very valid point. It's just, I don't want to say anything with certainty because that's just not me.
Okay, I understand.
But I do think that this was a very interesting and needed discussion because I do think that karma or the law of cause and effect, I'll reference it as both, I do think that it is heavily misunderstood. And I feel like if we can like talk about these examples and if we can talk about generational trauma and how it gets passed down, it might actually help our audience like kind of understand it a little bit better. But the ultimate result of it, I believe, of my belief, is that karma exists because the energy has to be balanced. And I think that knowing what we know about like duality and light and dark and good and bad, it's like, why would all of that exist if it's not meant to be balanced? Like, I often say that the yin yang is like one of the most important symbols. And I actually, like, I've always been very drawn to the yin yang, probably because I'm also Asian. But it's like, the more that I actually, like, the older I got and the more thought that I actually put into that symbol, I'm just like, wow, that is such, it's actually such a profound symbol because that's what it does. It represents balance. You have white and black, and then you have the little white dot, and then you have the little black dot in each. It just, it represents balance. And I just feel like the reason why cause and effect or karma is such a thing, because it has to be balanced.
And as I've learned on my journey, is that you can, ultimately it's the choices and the decisions you make that impact karma and if there will be karma and how much karma there will be. And so I think that what also gets lost here is that we don't fully understand that we can control some of that with the choices and decisions that we make. That when we choose actions that are destructive to ourselves or are not for our best and highest, that has a karmic effect and that has a karmic impact. And that at some point, that's going to need to be balanced. So I think it's important for us to keep some of that in mind too, because again, when it comes to the conversation around karma, I think that gets lost. I think people just kind of get scared, or they're just like, okay, whatever happens to me is a result of luck. And it's definitely more to it than that.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, people who obviously like don't believe in karma, and you know, like everyone has their own perspective and belief. And so it's just interesting how people are just saying like, oh, I was really lucky, or I was really unlucky. Yeah. Or how people will just like say like beginner's luck. And it's just, it's funny how like these little quirks, and I'm just like, actually, it's like, it really is energy. It's just people don't equate it in their mind of, you know, cause and effect. Every reaction, every action has a reaction. Every decision has a consequence. Yes.
And the concept of luck is, it's something I have never been able to wrap my head around, because I'm just like, so it implies that it's random, right? That there are just these few people who just for no reason whatsoever, like, have these experiences and they're positive and they benefit in some way, and that's just luck of the draw, like random occurrence that isn't influenced by anything. And I'm just like, how does that work? Like, I've never fully been able to understand the concept behind luck. Like, how do you get luck? Like, it's never made sense to me. So, you know, that there's more to it than just luck is, for me, I know that was very comforting, because it was just like, well, you know, it's nice to know that it's not just up to some random amorphous thing that I have no control or impact over, and that at some point I just will one day be anointed with this for no reason. Like, it's just never fully, I don't understand. Look, so that it's so pervasive and that so many people still consider that as a factor in things that happen in their lives is really interesting.
It is really interesting. And I'm not going to sit here and also say I understand luck, because I don't at all. But I can say that I do grasp, I'm not an expert, but I have an understanding of the laws of attraction. And I think that if we were to equate luck to anything, it would probably come down to the other, well, there's many universal laws, but a universal law called the law of attraction.
Well, and you could also, you know, ascribe it to the zodiacs, because I know that sometimes depending on where Jupiter is in your chart, that can indicate quote unquote lucky outcomes. I don't know that much about that, but I just know I've seen some astrologers talk about how your Jupiter placement and where it is in your chart can indicate some of the luck that you might have, which I also thought was interesting.
Oh, I absolutely love the rabbit hole of astrology and numerology. I think it's so fascinating, because people, you know, they say all the billionaires use numerology and astrology. That's how they have generated their wealth, because they understand how to manipulate the universal language, which is ultimately math. And so they know how, so they like find like the best astrologers and they use it for like to build wealth and become successful and be in a position of power. So I would definitely say that there's truth to numerology and astrology. I just don't know enough about it to turn this into a conversation.
I don't either, honestly. Like, I just happen to know that little tidbit. And it seems like, okay, so if you're someone with money and you're going to these lengths in order to achieve success and power and control, it just seems like such an extreme thing to do just to have a little bit of control in your life. Like, I mean, yeah, people are going to do what they want to do with their money at the end of the day. It's just, it always kind of blew my mind the lengths that some of these individuals with money are willing to go in order to maintain their status. Like, it's something I will also not ever fully and truly understand.
Same. But I will say that, I mean, numerology and astrology, they say that, like, if people who actually understand it, and this goes for no one in power, it's just say for the people who actually understand it can use it to their advantage to build and manifest like their dream life. It's just, I do, some people, you know, all these influencers or people who study this make it sound like, oh, it's so easy. Like, if you're a, you know, if you're a life path one, then, you know, you're meant to be a leader. And so you need to be in these roles. It's like they say, it's like they equate like your life path number with, you know, certain positions. And as long as you get into those person, like specific positions, then, oh, you're going to be good. Like, you're going to be fine, because that is like how you manipulate or use numerology to your advantage. So it's like people, everyone's just like, you need to know like what number you are. And then you need to know the traits of those numbers, and you need to get in these careers of these numbers, and like, you'll just be fine. Now, I know people who swear by this stuff. I am not discrediting any of you, so please don't come after me. Again, I just don't know enough about it to speak on it.
And I just think all of that is too much work. Like, I got the things that I want to do, and I'm working on those things. And outside of that, I just think that it's just so excessive to me to go to such lengths and extremes. Now, don't get me wrong, I do love astrology, and I've had horoscopes read, I've had a synastry done, and all that stuff is fascinating to me, but I've never use that to live my life or like map out my existence. It's just, I've never felt the need to do that. And it's not something I've ever wanted to do, but I get the desire for that and wanting to do that. If that's what makes you feel like you need to feel like you can succeed in life. It's just, you know, personally, it just seems, it always seems like so much effort to do in order to try to map out some type of, or any type of success in your life. That's just me personally.
I get what you're saying. And I mean, I do believe that, you know, the people who have the time and the money and the energy to do it, like, I do believe that if you have a firm grasp of it, it is very successful. Right. I mean, obviously there's people who've proven that it's very successful, but it does take a level of commitment on your end.
Right. And I don't have that. So to the people that do, like, you know, more power to you. More power to you.
Absolutely. So I would just say that, like, I just really wanted to kind of talk about balance that also ties in with, you know, karma, which is really what this discussion was ultimately about. Because, like, there's a lot of things that go into this. Like, it's not, everything is not as what it seems. Like, there is, like, deep levels of, you know, stuff that needs to happen, can happen underneath the surface of something as simple as saying, oh yeah, karma, what goes around comes around. And I know for many, it's just like, well, what does that even mean? And so, like, when Tiara and I were kind of discussing even doing this episode, I was like, we need to, like, present it in a way that, you know, hopefully our audience will understand. And so I'm really hoping that, like, the whole balance piece really helps. And, like, you need to know that, like, it's not instant. It can be instant, but most times it's not going to be instant. Like, it's lessons that we need to learn. And until we learn those lessons, it could take us lifetimes to learn those lessons. But the whole point of it is that eventually, either immediately or down the road, that energy will be balanced.
Yeah. So, you know, if your partner cheated and you are moving on with your life, but also hoping for their eventual downfall as a karmic consequence, you might not get that in this lifetime. It just might not happen this lifetime.
No. And, you know, and another thing that I'm happy that we also highlighted was the fact that generational trauma, it gets passed down. Karma is the same thing. It's all energy. It will get passed down to future incarnates because you, quote unquote, haven't learned the lesson yet.
Yes. And another thing that blew my mind about generational karma is that stuff gets remembered in the DNA, which to this day blows my freaking mind. Like, how is that even possible?
And Tiara is kind of a living proof of that, which is why, you know, obviously I got her permission. I was like, hey, can we get on and talk about this? Because you are, like, a living example.
I am. And, you know, when it comes to our DNA, like, there's just some weird stuff in there that I still haven't fully unpacked. Like, I kind of know what it is and I kind of know what it's there, why it's there, but I don't fully know how to clear it or, like, heal it. So, like, as an example, in my family, we have thyroid issues, particularly goiter, where it kind of, like, the thyroid kind of expands and grows to, like, 5 times its size. We also have this weird, like, thing with endometriosis and, like, women just kind of losing their periods out of nowhere. That's happened to a couple generations in our family. And, like, I know it's all trauma in the DNA. I just don't know fully why. So it's been an interesting journey and experiments, mostly using myself as the guinea pig, which has been fun, to try to unravel some of this stuff. But, like, yeah, certain health issues in your family, especially if it's, like, genetic stuff that pops up again and again, could be karmic. It's just a matter of understanding what the pattern is or what the thinking belief or the beliefs are that could be causing it.
Yeah, it's all really complex, like especially when you add science in and DNA, and you know, it's just, it's DNA is actually, I don't know enough about this, you guys. I'm not like a science nerd, but DNA is super fascinating, especially because DNA imprints, I know those exist, and I know that things get stored in your DNA, and yeah, we carry all of that, and it's wild when you actually like take a step back and think about it. You're just like, whoa. It's wild.
It is wild. And I'm a total nerd and I'm a science nerd and all of that stuff gives me a nerd boner. So we might revisit this conversation around like genetic memory and DNA, karma in the DNA, because I just think it's so, so interesting.
Yes, TR is definitely a science nerd. Like TR and I each have our strengths, and science on my end is definitely not it. So TR and I have actually like, we are very actually well balanced when it comes to our strengths and weaknesses. It's kind of wild.
Yeah, just don't ask me to do math, okay? I'm not mathing, all right? I'm not doing none of that. But the science stuff, yes, I absolutely love it. Science and technology.
Yeah, and those are like my two weakest.
Right.
So I hope you guys are, you know, I know I say this like every episode, but like, I hope you guys really learn something about karma and like cause and effect and energy and generational trauma and how we carry in our DNA and breaking those cycles, because it takes a lot of courage. If you are going to be that person that just stands up and says, you know what, it ends here, it ends with me, then more power to you. It is so commendable. We honor you for standing up and doing that, because it is not easy, and we know it's not easy.
Yes, and because we know it's not easy, we do have resources at our disposal, resources at our disposal for you guys, and you can find a lot of those on our website at www.goddessvibrationstudio.com, including some freebies, but also on our websites, depending on if you're on your mobile or if you're on your desktop, there's a link to get to our online spiritual community. I don't know why it's like this exactly, but if you go to our website on your desktop, you'll see like the button that will take you to the community, like right there on the page. If you're on your mobile device, you have to go into the menu, and then you'll see a little link that says community. So both of those will take you to our Patreon, where we have lots of resources available for you guys that need just a little bit of support and backup when it comes to doing that deeper work. So we've got some things there for you guys.
We absolutely do. So come and check us out. And Tiara and I, we are also offering like 7 days free. So like, not only do we have this podcast where you guys get to listen to us and get to know us and a little bit more about what we have to offer, but in the community, we also have like 7 days free. And we are a newer community and content is being built, I promise. But the content that we have in there now, it's like there's enough in there for you to sign up and kind of check out pretty much all the content and, you know, decide if you want to stick around.
Yes, yes. So please do check us out. As Ali said, there's some great stuff on there, including a tarot reading that will give you a sense of how you can make best use of the community. So if you pop in there, please do check that out. It might help guide you when it comes to how you can really make an impact with your participation.
Absolutely. And we also have some channeling sessions. We have completed three. There's two posted right now. Actually, the third will be posted by the time that this airs. But, you know, we channel thus far, we have channeled Gaia, we've channeled Toth or Toth, however you guys pronounce it. I know it's different for different people, but they offer amazing guidance and wisdom. Like, we eventually, when we have more members, like, we want to give you guys the opportunity to have a voice and submit questions. We may not get to all of them, but the channeling sessions that we have in there right now, you know, they offer guidance in terms of like differentiating commercial spirituality to real spirituality and things like entity discernment if you are a channeler or if you get downloads. And we ask about timelines and timeline shifts and understanding that, on top of like healing advice from Gaia and her ascension process. And there's a lot of really interesting stuff in there that I think you guys might find extremely fascinating. There's also clips of some of the channeling sessions on our YouTube and TikTok, so definitely check those out as well.
Yes, please do.
So thank you, everyone. I hope you guys have a fantastic week. And also, by the time this airs, Tiara and I, we still plan on recording. However, we may, just a warning, we may be drawing back a little bit on our posting. Instead of doing weekly, we may at this point be moving to bi-weekly. So I just want our listeners to know, like, no, we don't plan on going anywhere, but we may have to dial back on posting weekly.
Yes, and that's not a bad thing. We're just doing that so that we can focus a little bit more energy on the community. So ultimately, that's still for your benefit.
Yes. So thank you, everyone, and everyone have a great week.
Thanks, you guys. Take care.